Good morning. Welcome to Clay Fellowship Church. You, O Lord, are our light and our salvation. You, O Lord, are our stronghold and our life. You, O Lord, are our strength and our joy. You, O Lord, are our provider and our deliverer. Psalm 27:4. David writes, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and gaze on the beauty of the Lord, and seek him in his temple." May we only ask to dwell in the house of the Lord, and we invite the Lord to come and be with us here in this place this morning. According to the lyrics of our first hymn this morning, the Lord is our much to our little. We're going to sing "Little is Much When God is in It." It's hymn number 532. We're going to sing all verses. The words will be on the screen. And you are welcome to stand and you're welcome to remain seated. But let's just praise him for being our much, because we are little. In prayer this morning.
I want to ask all of us to have a part of our opening prayer this morning. I don't think we recite the Lord's Prayer enough. In fact, Ray and I were talking not long ago about the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed. We don't hear it in church a lot, but stand please with me again. I hate to ask you to stand up, but in honor of our Lord and Savior, let's stand and let's repeat the prayer that Jesus taught. When they asked him, "What should we pray?" Here's what he said. Let's pray it together. Okay. I thought you were going to lead it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, y'all just, we're fixing the thing. I mean, you, O Lord, are our justice and our pardon. You, O Lord, are our Savior and our hope. You, O Lord, are our blessed Redeemer, our precious Redeemer. So our next hymn this morning is Blessed Redeemer. It's hymn number 243, and we're going to sing all verses. For being our blessed Redeemer, for dying for us to reconcile us with your Father. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, our announcements this morning. Tuesday, we have our breakfast group that meet at the Jacks in Trustville on Different Parkway and Highway 11 to eat breakfast and to just take care of each other. It is at 9:30 on Tuesday mornings. Wednesday night Bible study is at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. On Sundays, we have our Sunday school at 10 a.m. and worship service at 11 here in the worship center. Coming up this Friday night, it had slipped me that this is already the third week of the month, and Cindy reminded me. Game night, Friday night, March 21st at 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. Coming up March the 30th, which is getting here soon, we'll have our fifth Sunday potluck lunch following the worship service. Then coming up on Thursday, April 17th, we will have a Maundy Thursday service here in the Worship Center at 6:30 p.m. Collecting items for Three Hots and a Cot. The collection box is in the back, and there's a list on the information table if you would like to see the things that they normally are in use need of. Food pantry, we have a collection box in the back for the items that we give out to our food pantry recipients. This week is food pantry, right? Monday? Tomorrow? Tuesday. Okay. So it's Tuesday. So just be in prayer for that ministry and for these people. And if you have any items, you can put them back here in the back collection. Our upper rooms are on the back information table for you to pick up and use as daily devotions. The March and April version are back there now. I did notice in our email that came out on Friday that there is a opportunity for a mission trip, a short-term mission trip. Brother Fred and Diane's son Richard is leading a short-term mission trip to Jamaica, and that will be July 19th through the 26th. They'll be hosting Vacation Bible School, be doing some senior ministries, and church repairs. If you're interested or would like to know how you can support this short-term mission trip, Brother Fred will be happy to talk with you. Also, I'm sure we can get more information out if you're interested. But we can always be in prayer and lift up in prayer this trip and the people going for the Lord to start working now in the hearts and the lives of those that will be served. Speaking of our email on Fridays, our announcements and our prayer list go out every Friday through an email. If you're not receiving that email, or if there's anything you would like to add to it or ask Cindy to change, you can ask Cindy. You can leave a message on the church voicemail. Yeah, well, voice machine, there we go. And you can email clayfellowshipchurch@gmail.com. So as we've been doing the last few weeks now, let's spend a little time in prayer, just praising the Lord for all he does and who he is, and that he is here, and invite him into this place this morning as we prepare for the message that Brother Fred is delivering to us today that has been given to him. So if you would, let's just spend a few minutes in prayer. You, O Lord, are our God. Won't you meet us in this place here today as we worship you? We invite you here among us, with us, in us. May you be in our midst this morning. We offer our thanks and our praise to you for all that you do, for your provision for us. We offer these things and our tithes and offering back to you. Lord, may you take and you bless for the furtherance of your kingdom. Lord, for only your glory throughout the world. We praise your holy name for being our provision, for being our deliverer, for being our hope, our salvation, and our peace. For you, O Lord, are trustworthy, and you are faithful. And we praise you and we lift our prayer requests to you. We know that we can place them in your hands and that you will respond. You, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer, and in you all things are possible. Thank you for the works of your hands and all that you have done for mankind, for this church, Lord, for me. We pray these things and we lift your name on high in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's several places in the New Testament where you read the words, "He had compassion on them," he being Jesus, on them being the crowds, as he was among them. Matthew 9:36 is one of those verses. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. And I got to noticing every time you see the words, "He had compassion on them," he did something. He touched them. He healed them. He taught them. Because he loved them, even those that were his enemies, he was moved to action. As we prepare for our message this morning, and the title is, this is the Sermon on the Mount still, "Jesus, you're kidding me, right? Love my enemies." That's not an easy command. But as we prepare for the words this morning, we're going to sing hymn number 543, "Let Your Heart Be Broken." And we're going to sing all the verses. If you're willing and able, you're welcome to stand with me. You're welcome to remain seated. But let's just invite the Spirit here to open our hearts and our minds before the message is delivered to us.
Got blown away last night. Praise the Lord. A lot of folks are hurting today, and I hope we'll remember them in our prayers as we go through the day. Family home place and all your family heirlooms and their taxes keep going up, and you're almost left with nothing. You don't have anything in your savings. They've taken your 401k. There's very little in your checking account, okay? And whenever they can, they like to show you who's boss, who's in charge. And they constantly push. So you and your family and your friends hope that someone will come and drive those Romans out. You hope that the real Messiah will show up that they've been talking about forever. And when he does, he'll come with swords drawn. It'll be time to fight. It'll be time to avenge our nation of Israel against these old Romans. And when he does, those old Romans, they won't know what's hit them. We'll get rid of them. Then you hear rumors. Rumors about this young rabbi, teacher, with all these radical ideas, talking about a kingdom. You hear that he's a person who speaks with authority. People even claim that he's healed them. You think, well, could this be him? Could he be the Messiah? You hear about the crowds are gathering around the Sea of Galilee to hear this man. So, you go and see for yourself. You grab your best dagger, hide it under your cloak, and you join those thousands of people gathering on that hillside to figure out what this Nazarene is all about. You're hoping that this might be the man. He might light the fire that will burn Rome to the ground and put Israel back into its rightful place. But then he starts speaking, and you hear these words from Matthew 5, down at verse 38. You have heard it said that it was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak too. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your neighbor only, what do you do more than others? Do you even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Amen. As a first century zealot, hoping for the revolution, this doesn't sit well with you, does it? It's shocking. It's frustrating. It's probably disappointing. You may be even one of those in the crowd saying, Jesus, you gotta be kidding me. Who is this Jesus anyway? He's no Messiah. He's just another imposter. But you don't get up and leave. You keep listening. I hope this little role play gives you a little bit of the context about the people of that day. In our sermon today, we come to what is perhaps one of the most radical teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see, I hope, three things this morning. We're going to see that there's power in not retaliating. We're going to see, I hope, there's grace and redemption that can come from loving your enemies. And thirdly, I hope we can see today the beauty and the results of God's agape love in our hearts. Folks, today God wants to turn our world upside down. If you'll let Him. Will you do something for me this morning? Will you all put your hands out like this, with the palms up? And we're going to pray with our open hands this morning. And this is saying, God, come and be with us today. Speak to us today. Just like we were on that hillside in Galilee those years ago. Let's invite Him to teach us today. Father, I ask that You would teach us to love like You. Not just our friends, but our enemies. Because when we were Your enemies, You loved us. It's the only reason we're here. And we're thankful for that. We're not going to learn this, Lord, from TV or social media. We're not going to learn this from our government or its politicians. We can only learn this from You, Lord. By the power of Your Holy Spirit, who is conforming us to the image of God the Father. Teach us this morning, I pray. We open our hearts. God, we're going to hold back nothing. In Jesus' name, we invite You to come, Lord Jesus, in Your own special way this morning. All of God's children said, Amen, amen. Thank you. In verse 38, Jesus said, you've heard it, said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, there's a legal principle that was taken from the Old Testament. It's called lex talionis. It means the law of reciprocal justice. You find it in three books of the Old Testament, at least, in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. If you want to look it up sometime, in Exodus, it's in chapter 21, in Leviticus, it's in chapter 24, and Deuteronomy is chapter 19. The idea was, if someone harms you, it's only fair and just that they suffer the same harm in return. Someone steals 30 shekels from you, it's only right for that person to pay you back 30 shekels. If someone kills your goat, it's right for him to give you one of his goats. Understand? That's how it works. It was called restitution. But sometimes it was impossible. So, restitution became retribution, a totally different word. If someone breaks your arm, they can't give you their arm, so what do? You break their arm in response. It was a legal standard of justice. You do the same in return. If they knocked out one of your teeth, then you were okay with knocking out one of theirs. The legal precedent of that day. So Jesus was talking about something they were familiar with. That's where they got an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, to us today, that seems kind of primitive, doesn't it? Maybe even inhumane. But it was better than what was going on prior to this law being laid down by God through Moses. It was a culture of vengeance. Vengeance. It was the way things were handled in the ancient Near East world. If someone wronged you, you took vengeance upon them and their families and everything they had. You made them pay. Diane and I like watching Viking movies. And boy, do they practice this. Someone does something to you, you're going to do something to them. But always, there's a little bit extra added, isn't there? Right? You break an arm, I'm going to break both of yours. You steal my cow, I'm going to steal three of yours. Duh. This led to endless cycle of retribution. Vengeance upon vengeance upon vengeance. So, this law, Lex Talionis, was a major step in the right direction. Can you see that? It became the rule of law. So it would help get rid of this mob violence. It became a process of justice. Punishment that fits the crime. We're used to that today, aren't we? But it went no further. Over time, this Lex Talionis, it was taught and practiced, even by the scribes and the Pharisees. But through the years, it took on a retaliatory flavor. Because if someone harms you, it got to be the point where it's your job to make sure that person pays for what they did to you. You got to go after them. You got to demand your pound of flesh. Because the scribes and Pharisees said, it's the law of God. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. They even said it's what God wants. He wants you to go after your enemies. You see, that's the way it was in the world at that time. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees practice. And Jesus is saying, no. Your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus says, let me show you what kind of heart I want you to have. What my heart looks like. If you come to me, trust me, follow me. By my spirit and power, I'm going to give you a new heart. One that's eager to follow my ways and our Father's ways. One that will result in an abundant life for you and yours. He's already given us a glimpse of that in the weeks before. Because he said, instead of a heart of anger, let's have a heart of peaceful reconciliation. Instead of a heart cultivated by lust, let's have a heart of self-giving love. Instead of a hard-hearted heart that divorces, let's have one that's tender and faithful. full of integrity instead of having a heart that's manipulative. Instead of a heart that's dominated by retaliation, by revenge, I can give you a heart that's full of love, grace, and redemption toward both your friends, your family, and your enemies. Verse 39 says, do not resist the evil one. Literally, do not set yourself against that person. Don't raise up in opposition. Don't retaliate. Paul said in Romans, do not repay evil with evil. Don't answer violence with violence. Because the way of Jesus is to not retaliate. No more payback. Now, in our human existence, our way of responding to a threat is what? Fight or flight. Jesus, on the other hand, is offering another way. He seems to always do this, doesn't he? It's the way of love. It's the way of the cross. It's the way of the kingdom of heaven. And he can give us this today. He gives four examples here. But I want to be perfectly clear before I get into those examples that we should know that Jesus is not saying that nations shouldn't defend themselves. He's not saying that we shouldn't defend our homes and our families. What he's talking about here is personal insults in these examples. He's not saying abuse is okay. He's not saying that we ought to be doormats. And he's not establishing a new law. All he's doing is giving you four illustrations of what a new heart looks like. The kind of heart that only he can give you. A kind of heart that's going to be alive in the kingdom of heaven, that doesn't retaliate, but loves. Verse 39 says, if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, I wonder why he says right cheek. Why don't you just say, if someone slaps you on a cheek, turn the other? Why right? Well, most people are what? Right-handed, right? There's a few odd ducks out here among us, but most folks are right-handed. So, if you slap somebody with your right hand, what are you doing? You're backhanding them. He's not talking about doubling that fist up and giving him a right-hand haymaker, no. He's talking about a backhanded slap. Well, why would that matter? Well, that was, in their day, was an insult. It was to treat somebody with disdain. It was pretty common, especially for the Roman soldiers to do that. You see, our human response, like I said, is to fight or flight. Either we run away in shame, hide our face, we lose our integrity, we let them win, or we fight back. Don't you slap me, pow! You take him out. insult for insult, blow for blow. And you wind up hitting each other till one of you doesn't get back up. But Jesus says, what if you do neither of these? What if instead of running away and hiding, what if instead of hitting back, you turn and look him in the eye? And with courage and poise, offer your other cheek. So, what good would that do? I imagine a lot of folks sitting in that audience thought the same thing that day. What good? Why would I want to offer the other cheek? Well, think about it for a moment. First, it would stop the cycle of violence. You see that? You refuse to let the incident turn into something that was huge and ugly. Number two, when you do that, you reclaim control of the situation. That's huge in a fight. You now take charge of that interaction. You refuse to play their games. And you reclaim your dignity as you look that person that's harmed you in the face. Third, you've honored the image of God. You're refusing to vandalize or villainize that person. You see them as a fellow human being, a fellow creation of God, but one that needs redemption. Well, fourth, you're opening a window of grace. Because if I hit back, we're just going to keep punching each other till one of us hits the floor. But by not retaliating, I can't talk this morning, we're going to open this window of grace where the person who's harmed you is going to be forced to choose either to relent to you and repent, realize that he is the aggressor and what he did was wrong, or they're going to strike you again and be seen as a monster of a person. You see that this morning? By not retaliating, you open that window of grace for their soul. That makes them have to do something then. And folks, that's powerful. Jesus is showing when we don't answer evil for evil or violence for violence, we open the possibility of redemption in our enemies. It might just change their life. It might just change your world. Look down now at verse 40. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Okay, we're shifting scenes here. We're in a courtroom. You're being sued. Now, people of that day wore two main garments. Their inside clothes, which was their tunic, and then they had their cloak or jacket or coat on the outside. And at that time, you could not sue someone and take that outer garment. You could take their tunic, but he couldn't take your cloak. And Jesus says, you got two options again. fight or flight, right? At least that's what the people thought. First, you just give them what they want. Give them everything you got. Your tunic, your cloak. Or you get you a lawyer and you sue them. But Jesus says again, what if there's another way? If they sue you for your tunic, give them your coat also. Oh, can't you just imagine what they thought then? What good does that do, Jesus? Well, again, it stops the violence, the cycle of violence. You claim control. You've changed the scene. You've honored your enemy that's made in the image of God. Given an opportunity for his or her redemption, you're opening that window of grace. Just think about it. What are they going to do now? That person, what do I take the coat to or not? Am I going to be a greedy monster? Or am I going to back off of my anger? If you want to borrow your stuff, you should let them have it. But you say, oh, they'll probably never return it. I'll never see that again. What good does that do, Jesus? Well, again, stops the cycle of violence. We recognize they're made in the image of God. We've reclaimed control. And we're offering grace. We've opened up a window of grace. And I saw that happen. For real. For a moment, these people, these children of God, have experienced a little bit of dignity. A little token of mercy because you're acting like God. You're acting redemptively. You're acting kind towards your enemy. You're recognizing them as a human being, as a creation of God. One that's created in His image. And you're offering that person grace. That's the kind of heart that Jesus wants to give us. This is the righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. This is the beginnings of being that person that God wants us to be. That being perfect because our Heavenly Father is perfect. That's the power, folks, that's given to those who don't retaliate. Wow. We're out of time. We're going to have to stop there. We'll have a part two where we'll begin with verse 33 and take up the rest of this today. But what does it do when we don't retaliate? We take control. We change the scene. We stop the cycle of violence. We recognize that person as being a creation of God. And we present an opportunity for redemption through the grace that we show to others. Big lesson, folks. I'm still working on this. I'm still working on this. I was thinking about this sermon. I was thinking about years ago when I came back from Vietnam. Every person that was of Oriental descent, I couldn't stand them. And I treated them awful. Till one day, God got my heart. And this went on for a while. It took a while for this old boy to face up to what I was doing. I wasn't doing what Jesus is saying in these scriptures. I didn't turn the other cheek. I didn't give the person my coat. But it wasn't the heart He wanted me to have. It's not the kind of heart He wants you to have today. A heart that does not retaliate. That does not say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But a heart that says, love your enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use you. If you don't have that kind of heart today, Jesus is here, and He can give you that heart. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
I'm going to close out our service this morning singing, Your Love Compels Me. The words of the song, it just makes me always think, to give as He would give. Well, He gave everything. To speak as He would speak. He spoke love. To live as He would live. Those are strong orders. But if you will, please stand with me as we sing. Your love compels me, Lord, and this altar is always open in this place.
Bow your heads with me. Father, if there's any ill will in my heart, take it this morning. Lord, if there's any hatred in my heart this morning, please remove it. Come, Lord Jesus, through the power of the blood that You shed on Calvary's cross, cleanse my heart today, O Lord. Lord, I offer myself to You. Fresh and new. Because God, I want to be able to live in the kingdom of heaven with You. And I want to go ahead and make myself available to that kingdom here on earth. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' holy, precious, powerful name. Amen and amen. Thank y'all for coming today. God bless.